Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Eurocash. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Magdalena Kupiec, IR Director, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Good morning, everybody. Magda Kupiec speaking. Maybe at first I will introduce our participants on our side. First of all, Luis Amaral, our Chief Executive Officer.
Good morning or good afternoon to all of you.
Jacek Owczarek, our Chief Financial Officer.
Hello.
Me, Magdalena Kupiec, I'm responsible for investor relations since 2 months. Now I will pass over to Luis, who will go with brief summary.
Long time we didn't talk. Now is end year results, and I want to give an idea what we're doing during this year. I said the year of 2019 was very important for us. We have been doing things which are relevant for the future of the business, both on wholesale and on retail. On wholesale, we started to merge Eurocash Alcohol with Eurocash Distribution. So basically, this will be a company with 7 billion, which now will be optimizing during this year. It was important. We had completely different systems. It was really 12 months of work. Even still in January, we had some work to finish this. Also on the retail side, still on the wholesale side, very important, we have been fooling Eurocash.pl. We have now 12,000 users. We started with the marketplace, the first marketplace in food, which it will be very important for the future for our strategy. So we see the wholesale business as all the structural changes are made, and we now basically have to do better what we do and keep innovating on the digital side. On the retail side, as you know, we had three companies, Eco, Miller, and ECF. They work in completely different systems because Eco and Miller were acquired 2 and 3 years ago. And you had to integrate all of them. This was a huge work. We made it together with BCG for being part of the journey. We unify all the systems. And from 1st of January, we are working with one single company, with a renovated team, a team which is much more retail team than wholesale that as we had in the past. So we have new systems, new information, new reports, new people, and everything started finally from January. In terms of our projects, we keep developing the most important ones. We see Duis Oben with very good results. Probably will achieve break-even at the end of this year. And we are now giving speed to expansion, as we told you last year. Contigo is also increasing speed of expansion. Stores are getting to break-even much faster. Margins went higher, and this is allowing us to go to better locations. ABC on Wheels also had quite big development during the year of 2019. We are still relatively far from the break-even, but it's a small operation and it's going quite well, and the operation is well controlled. So it was a year where the results were good in our opinion, but most important is that you made lots of structural changes, and these changes are, I would say, essential for our future, for both business, wholesale and retail. So I pass now to Magda to start the normal presentation, but I stay here for any questions.
Okay, thank you, Luis. Let's start with the slide number 7. Polish economy slowed down in the last two quarters of 2019, but the retail growth remained strong. Inflation increased, but as you can see on the right-hand bottom graph, in our two main categories, that means cigarettes and alcohol, those dynamics weren't extraordinary in 2019. Next slide, 8, to put more light on Polish food market. And here I would like to focus your attention on the left-hand bottom graph. We are, because we hear all the time that small stores are closing. Yes, they are, but only those under 40 square meters. Other stores are expanding their businesses and increasing volumes of sales per store. And as you can see on the right-hand graph, we see it in Eurocash, number of stores under our brand is increasing, and in 2019 it was 3.4% year over year. And let's move to next chapter, the wholesale segment. The first slide shows what we have achieved in 2019 in this segment. So we've got more and more Eurocash.pl users. At the end of 2019, this number was 12,000. And the sales done by them was 3.5 billion Polish zlotys. More and more clients decide to use mobile app, what's very important for us and more convenient for them. I would like also to underline here that cash and carry still got a strong business, like for like in 2019 we're at the level of 6.2%. We also managed to merge Eurocash distribution with Eurocash alcohol, and thanks to that we improved our efficiency in this in wholesale segment. Our efforts impacted our financial results, and as you can see on slide number 11, we improved our sales by 6% and EBITDA by 10% year over year. And let's move to retail segment. This was, as Luis said, this year we merged, we integrated the retail segment, and here I would like to underline that in last 5 years we increased number of our stores by 45%, and 2019 was the year of integration, and we've managed to deliver like-for-like in Delikatesy Centrum at the level of 3.6%. We would like to change a little bit layout of our stores, as you can see on the photo, but don't worry, cost of the process are marginal for us. And next slide shows financial data of our retail segment. What is important here to mention is the fact that Mila sales increase in 2019 was so strong because of the fact that we bought that company in June 2018 and was not fully consolidated in 2018. And my favorite segment, project. Duży Ben opened 77 stores already. The quantity break-even point is around 120 stores. So probably this year we're gonna reach the break-even point, but regarding the quantity. We still want to expand the chain. And regarding Contigo and business on wheels, we hope that we're going to reach break-even point in 2021. So now, I would like to summarize our financial aspects of the whole year. It says increased by 9%. And also I would like to mention here that we had a very long internal discussion whether to show normalized on statutory results, and finally we decided to show statutory results, but to your information, EBITDA normalized increased by 11% and net profit in normalized increased by 28%. Regarding consolidated financials, a few words about cash conversion. We kept it on a stable level of 25 days. The last slide, net debt, as you can see, remain on the stable level of 1.23 before IFRS 16. I think that concludes my presentation, and we can go to the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question received is from Alexander Gnosarev from VTB Capital. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Greetings to everybody. I just want to ask a couple of questions, if I may. I wanted to get a picture on your CapEx for upcoming year, 2020, and its possible breakdown. How much are you going to elaborate on the expansion, how much on the logistics development, and perhaps on any other spending? And my second question relates to debt. What approximately is going to be your net debt to EBITDA ratio by year-end 2020? Thank you.
Regarding CapEx, the situation in 2020 is quite similar like in previous years. So our annual expectation is somewhere between 170 to 200. And generally speaking, when we are asking us about split, we don't have it, right here with us. But generally speaking, the big investments in logistics and in wholesale somehow are behind us. So majority of this for sure will go into retail and opening of the new stores. Generally speaking, still some. IT investment, of course, we still have to be done. So assuming normal cash generation at the EBITDA level, the net debt at the end of 2020 should be around below one, I think, because, that's the normal cash conversion which we are having right now. So we don't have right now any big acquisitions except Frisco. So please remember that we signed already a contract with our JV partner and we'll be buying him at the end of Q2. So except of normal CapEx, we shouldn't have too much investments to spend.
This Frisco acquisition, what's the approximate size of the deal, or you do not comment on it yet?
I think it's in our financial statements, honestly, because we put the number into our communication. Let me only check, because right now I can't remember exactly the number, but it should be okay. In public domain. 130, so it's note number 37 in our financial statements, and we had the additional press release about this.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on the telephone keypad now. And the next question is from Michal Krawinski from JP Morgan. Your line is now open, so please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Is it possible to get from you some color on your expected performance this year in terms of like-for-like outlook and profitability outlook, if you could give some kind of expected range on what sort of EBITDA we should expect this year? Thank you.
As you know, usually you don't give projections of EBITDA or even like-for-like. I would say that the wholesale business is growing quite healthy as it was last year. On retail, we finished the integration. We have now new teams start to work. So we still believe that the retail will start to have full impact in the last part of the year. projections of EBIT and like-for-like, obviously cannot give, but we are looking at the same tendency than the year of 2019.
Can you repeat the last statement was...
We are looking at the same tendency at the end of 2019.
Okay, the same tendency as 19, in terms of year-on-year growth, correct?
Yes, in terms of like-for-like and growth, we are looking more or less expecting similar trends. Obviously, at this moment, we live a moment that we don't know exactly where it goes because of what's happening in Europe in the last few weeks. But in normal situations, we see no big difference year on year.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And yeah, following up on this, if you could give us some kind of trading update about the trends you're seeing so far in Q1 2020. In particular, if you could maybe... comment on the how do you call it? Let's call it preparation of the population for some potential, you know, coronavirus impact. I mean, we are anecdotally seeing big queues. Do you see a big traffic in your stores on the back of
yeah.
that?
Everything was normal until 1 week ago. Last week was everything less normal. We have much more sales than we ever had in any of our business units, from Frisco to Cash and Carry. But that, if you look at the year, doesn't say that it's good news. For now, it's just we are moving stocks from one side to the other because people are not going to eat more than this, they're just stocking more. We are, I'll say, we have been very careful preparing in the last few weeks for some disruptions. Until now, we see no disruption at all, no disruption in supply chain, no disruption on stores. People are coming to work at reasonable numbers. So still, things are working normally, even with much bigger volumes. But as all of you know, this is completely unpredictable now, yeah? So we are not taking any risks even of predicting next week. We are dealing with the problems we have every day. We are solving them. And we are trying to be sure that to fulfill our main objective, which is to make our goods get to our clients and to consumers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And have you noticed perhaps disproportionately bigger positive impact in terms of traffic and basket of your own, of your new online business Frisco versus traditional stores? If you could comment.
I will tell you like this: our normal delivery in Frisco could be the same day to 24 hours. Now I'm the one, as far as I know, delivering faster in Warsaw in our region, and the delivery is in 8 days. So that gives you an idea. Normal traffic, we had something like 250 people normal on the site. The day that schools were closed went from 250 to 5,000 people.
Okay. So that
gives an idea, really... but as I said, this is not good or bad. It's just reality. We are managing this as we can. So we should not think, wow, great sales are coming, because usually after great sales come great problems. So I'm not, the mood is we are solving everything at the speed we can. We are fully focused to make food get to consumers.
But the new Frisco warehouse is probably able to facilitate this level of traffic, because I remember
yeah.
it was built for...
Yeah. We are selling much more than the previous year. But if you had triple warehouse, it would be probably full occupied by now. It's, no, this is not a normal situation.
Okay.
As I said, our delivery went from same day and 24 hours maximum to more than 8 days. And we are the ones performing better. 2 days, 3 days ago, people were sending me messages complaining that the level of service was weak, and we knew that we were doing extraordinarily well. 3 days later, people are sending me messages saying, congratulations, you are doing great. because they go to the sites of others and it's much slower.
Okay, thank you. I'll leave it. I'll leave it for now. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question received is from Irakov Krasner from Raiffeisen Central Bank. Your line is now open, so please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's Jakub Krawczyk here from Raiffeisen. Congrats on the good figures in the fourth quarter. You beat consensus. I just have a follow-up. I'm not sure if I caught it. Did you say 8 days for delivery right now?
In Frisco.
Yes, no, understood.
Yes.
And are you...
Normally it's 24 hours maximum.
Right. So in terms of, I mean, I want to pursue this topic a bit more because I think this will be really in focus right now. Are you able to scale up, I don't know, is the website able to handle all this incremental traffic? Are you able to somehow shift resources internally or across divisions to, for example, you know, roll this up tenfold or maybe decrease the time?
I will call your attention that, you know, Frisk is a very small percentage of my sales. I'm much more worried to be sure that the other 2 billion of sales per month gets to stores than that I do some deliveries in Warsaw. Obviously, the website is being scaled as much as we can. Obviously, the logistics is being operating at maximum speed. Obviously, we don't have any more enough cars to deliver in Warsaw. But I have to be very sincere to you. This is not my main concern. My main concern is to be sure my cash and carries have products and that my clients, which are 15,000 franchisees, have problems, products on their stores. And this, we are performing extremely well. Until now, we are able to deliver whatever is asked with even extraordinary problems all over. We are being able to fulfill. So Frisco, it's nice, it's interesting opportunity, but in the middle of this crisis, it's no more than a cool thing, yeah? Because business is not there.
Okay, and then if we just then explore the wholesale topic, how much of your offering would be relying on sourcing from outside of Poland, cross-border sourcing from multinationals, or are most multinationals serving you from the Polish capacities?
Not very relevant. Obviously, there are always some things which come from outside, but big part of them, yeah, orange, for example. But big part of them we can replace for local products. It's not a main concern that the international supply chain stops. It's bigger concern to be sure the national supply chain don't stop.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And then if I may just ask another question. On this rebranding of DC, is it fixtures, fittings, or is it just, are we just talking about the logo and the brand? First of all, and second of all, does it apply to the recently, for example, the recently converted Echo and Mila, do they already have this rebranding, or do you have to sort of go back now and fix it to the new branding?
No, the Mila will have directly the new branding, and the concept was adapted during time, so it's mainly branding. And the Mila, during this last year, all the changes you are doing were aligned with what is the concept of store. Echo stores will be coming aligned in terms of signalization as all the rest of the chain.
Okay, and what's the cost, more or less? Is this something you can share?
Total for all network is about 30 million.
And it was in the CapEx I was giving to all of you before. I'm sorry to add to this.
Okay.
So it's not on the top of what we said already. So it's really included.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate this. And then maybe just last one before I pass this on to others. Can you just tell me about the official, I think the government has officially asked you to support, is there an official, any official angle?
There's nothing official, but obviously we are talking and we are supporting and you'll be supporting. I'll tell you what I told to our employees a few hours ago. our first responsibility is to be sure that consumers and our clients have enough products on the shelves or at home. That's the main thing I'm worried at this moment. And obviously I'm fully aligned with the government on this, because they are worried that the supply chain of food doesn't work properly. We know we have a very important role. Our supply chain is one of the most complexes in the country. It's all over the country. And for sure, it will be used in solving the situation we are facing today.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And the next question is from Michael Brutan from UBS. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Michael Potera from UBS. I have a question regarding two questions. The first one, if you could please comment on the gross margin trends. It seems to slightly decrease in the fourth quarter. And the second one, as a follow-up, if you can maybe give us a bit more light on the expected impact of the minimum wage on your P&L in 2020 now, after a few months, you already have, I assume, a bit more clarity on that. Thank you.
So business unit by business unit, I don't think there's any business unit declining gross margin. It's only a question that tobacco grew much faster than other business units, so it's just a question of mix.
Okay, that's clear.
So there is no business unit where we feel bigger stress in margin than before. In terms of this year, obvious there are cost increases which came 1st of January, which were extraordinary, like the salary increases. The year started at normal speed, as I told you, in wholesale started quite okay. On retail, we are still putting things on order with new teams and new systems, but it was going more or less as expected. Long the disruption we are having is now this, that for now represents a lot of sales, but we don't know what it represents in 1 week.
Thank you.
And the next question is from Michal Grawinski from JP Morgan. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just my last question is on one-offs booked in. You should comment on any significant one-offs in the quarter. Thank you.
No, so, Michal, regarding one-offs, just to remind all of us, last year we booked the proceeds from the sale and treated the one-off proceeds from the sale of PayUp. At the consolidated level, it was 63 million Polish zloty. At the same time, we created a restructuring provision for the retail amounting 25. This year, we have payment for the performance of the contract with PayUp, which amounted to almost 22 million Polish zloty. So that's the one of on comparable basis, if you wish.
The 22 million, yes, yes. In Q4.
Yes, no, in Q3, half Q3 and half Q4. So it was it's on our presentation in Q3. You have this half.
Okay, so it was half in Q3 and half in Q4, correct?
Yes, correct.
So the EBITDA number for Q4 that you showed in your presentation today, it includes that
yes,
portion,
yes, of course,
correct?
Of course, it's correct. It's reported. So in reality, if you would like to have on the without one-offs, you should compare on annual basis 374 with around 410. It's the same which we have right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And we received a follow-up from Alexander Grosseriev of VTB Capital. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, and I just had a very quick follow-up question. Could you please a little bit comment more on your strategy in regards to the development of your retail format? I remember you were talking about something like 150 net openings per year until 2024. Could you please correct me if I'm mistaken? Could you please just elaborate more how you're viewing it? Are you still planning to develop it as you previously guided? Thank you.
Okay, so as you know, we are the first, we opened about 100 stores per year in the last 5 years, but this was mainly through M&A. The organic expansion was quite low. The acquisition of Equan Miller made us go from 1,100 stores to 1,600. We want to keep the speed somewhere between 100 and 100-something stores per year, which was diminished, as said, organically, and was more made the through M&A. That's our objective for next few years. This year probably we have less because it's the first year of operation of new company, but the objective with which we work is around this.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now.
So I'd like to thank all of you. I have to say that I was expecting to have much less people on the call with the turbulence on the markets and on the crisis in Europe. So I'm very happy that we had so many of you. And as usual, you are open to answer any questions offline after this conference. Thank you very much for giving us this time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.